Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
There is literally a creation you and I are going to have a part to play. But God is giving us responsibility here and now in training us in how to serve Him, how to exercise God-given authority right here, right now, as kids growing up. And there's going to, you know what the Lord says? He talks about the adoption to sonship. You know what that is in Scripture? It's the redemption of the body. It's when that gets totally changed. And we, instead of all of this, instead of what we see right now, we'll see the saints standing in glory. The same kind of glory that Isaiah saw. Can you imagine us fitting into a place like that? We got an awesome God who can take people like us and get us ready for something like that. But that's when He is going to, when He comes and we're transformed. And we have brand new bodies. We don't have to deal with this anymore, thank God. But anyway, we're going to be presented to the universe and say, these are my children. They have served me. They have learned in a measure to exercise the authority that I gave them to operate right down there in that corrupted world. And now here they are. And I'm turning over a brand new creation. And every one of them is going to have a special place in my creation. God is prepared just for you. And He's not leaving any one of you out. If you belong to Him, you've got a place. Praise God. Praise God. I don't know how long this is going to go on, but I'm just going to share what I've thought about. But anyway, isn't this amazing when you just ponder this? God is giving you authority right now. But here's the thing. I'll go ahead and turn to a scripture, I guess. This is probably as good a time as any. I think it's in 2 Timothy chapter 2 or 3. In verse 20 of chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, Paul is writing to Timothy as a younger minister and trying to encourage him and to be the kind of worker that God can really use. But then he uses an illustration. He said, in a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, and some for special purposes and some for common use, it says in this translation. I think the better sense is it's not really nice. This is stuff that's, this is kind of, you don't want to talk about that kind of use. Okay? So there are different kinds of uses. So anyway, what he's saying is those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. See, the Lord has got stuff for us to do. I think we all know that. We hear about it all the time. The Lord has got a place. We're here for a purpose in the world. And there are things He wants us to be able to do. But if I am living a life where, well, we're talking about Satan having holes and strongholds and footholds and all of that. But if I've got dirt in my life, if I've got stuff that I'm not really ruling over this very well, how useful am I going to be to do the things the Lord wants me to do? Now notice, let me drop this in right here. There's a lot that we think about when we come to the Lord and we're talking about yielding ourselves to Him and giving ourselves and allowing Him to work. And it almost sounds passive, doesn't it? As though we just give ourselves to Him and somehow magically He does it all. But that's not how it works. We have wills. We have minds. We have the ability to choose. God does not violate those things that He built into our very makeup. And so learning how to serve Him and be useful to Him involves what kind of choices are we going to make? Are we going to really and truly agree with Him, or are we just going to kind of go along with him here, but we'll kind of listen to the world and listen to the wisdom of the enemy over here in part of our lives. And I believe God is teaching us that there is, while he will give us everything that we need, he does not replace my responsibility to use it and to do what I'm meant to do with it. Okay? That's why he says, those who cleanse themselves. Doesn't say those who come to me and I'll give them a bath. Now, I thank God he can cleanse from sin, from the guilt of sin. But in terms of that sin having an influence on my life and beginning to control me, continuing to control and influence me, that's my responsibility. If I choose to listen to a lie of the enemy, pardon me, and I embrace that, and in a sense it becomes my truth, at least for me, how useful am I really going to be in the kingdom of God? And it's like, think about the property that that the Israelites had. God gave them, and he gave them the boundaries of each person's property. But they were the ones who were responsible to use that to plant crops, to raise animals, to do whatever they were going to do. But suppose enemies just came in and they said, okay, come on in. Or whatever it was. Or maybe the enemy came and there was a beautiful girl connected with that. And she came in and it just seemed so desirable. And all of a sudden she gets invited to become part of the household. And you see what happens? You take what God gave and suddenly you're allowing something else to come in and rule. What happens if you just allow people to trample over your land or to move into your house and squat? Become a squatter. And the reality is there's not a person here that has not had that happen in their lives. Now, whose responsibility is that ultimately? I mean, I realize that if, let's say, a child goes through something traumatic, it's happened to a lot of people, but then there's a whisper that comes into their minds explaining why that happened. That happened because it's your fault. Because you're bad. Nobody loves you. And a long litany of lies that become part of their thinking. It becomes their truth that they sort of embrace as to who I am and do I matter and I'm this and no matter what I do, I'll never amount. You know, all the lies that say. But what happened? Is that the truth? But it becomes their truth and it's like inviting the devil in, and he gains, it's like he moves into a room in your house and he lives there, but you're letting him live there. And so an awful lot of what, but the Lord says, I'm not going to just come in and blow him out of there. I'm going to have to bring you to a place where you're going to be confronted with, this is what you've been believing and the devil is the one behind it, but here is the truth. Make a choice. Are you going to continue to agree with this? Or are you going to recognize that's a lie and I reject it? And I believe what God says. Whose responsibility is that to make that happen? And what happens if he comes along, if an enemy comes along and says, hey, we're going to have a real party over here. You go back to the person on the land. We're going to, let's bring, I got some friends. We're going to come in and boy, this is going to be fun. We're going to start having parties. I'm going to come in here and I'm going to set up camp. We're going to just have a wonderful time. And you invite that person in. You invite the enemy to come in and have a place. Who made that choice? God gave you the property. You know, that was, I mentioned this. I think some of you probably heard this. But somehow I felt like the Lord wanted to reemphasize it. I'll just let the Lord judge that. But the other title that I had given was Get Off My Property. And it's a good way to remember it. Because if God gave you, he gave you a body, he gave you a mind, he gave you a will, he gave you all the tools to rule and be able to say, Lord, I give myself to you, and I want to live in harmony with you. I want you to power me, but I'm choosing to agree with you. I want you to show me everything that's wrong. I want you to help me to rule this, rule over all of this. But boy, if we don't do that, whose responsibility is it ultimately? We can say, Lord, I give myself to you. And then, but not even realize these other things are going on. But anyway, I keep noticing how many times the responsibility is put on the believer. You think about Abraham. And what was it that gave him that standing before God? What gave Abraham the standing before God? What was faith? What did faith look like when it came to Abraham?
He believed.
He believed, but what did that mean? I guess I believe you, Lord.
Believe
is not just some sort of a feeling. It's not just some sort of a mental thing where we acknowledge that something is sort of true. He took action. He believed God. That meant, in the first place, that he got up from where he was and he left, going to a place that he'd never been, that God was going to show him. When God dealt with him about the son, the reality that he was going to have a son, that the son would be the heir, he believed God. He defended that sacrifice from the devils that were trying to, the birds that were trying to attack the sacrifice. Faith is something where we absolutely believe what God says to the point where we step out and we do it. And I, a lot of us, I think, have had to come to a realization later that God's trying to shine lights into our hearts. And his purpose is not to condemn me or make me feel bad, but he is training me as a son, training you as a son or a daughter. He's training us to see the truth about ourselves so that we can recognize, hey, here's an area where I have yielded my control to a demon. Just put it plain. I have allowed a demon from hell to absolutely exercise a degree of control in my life. And when I know that, and when he shows me that, now what? Does God just say, all right, there he is, boom, I'm going to get rid of him? That's my responsibility. Because, well, here's an illustration that came to me, I guess. And a lot of you have seen, what is it, Star Wars? Not Star Trek, Star Wars. And some of the main characters in that were what they call stormtroopers, am I right? Remember what the stormtroopers were? They were kind of biomechanical, I don't know what you call them anyway. They were biological creatures, but they were clones who were effectively slaves, mindless robots who just simply did what the central mind said, and the central mind didn't even care if they lived or died. They were just expendable. I'll tell you, the devil will try everything he can to paint God somehow in that way. God is not looking for stormtroopers.
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.